Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, AFR, American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman, Walker Wildman joining me this morning. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here.
And Dr. Ray Pritchard from Dallas. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. Looking forward to our program today. We got a lot of interesting guests coming up and some topics to cover that I think folks are going to want to hear about. And Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News, is with us. Good morning.
It's becoming a bit of an old saying, but yeah, we got a lot of news to cover today.
Yeah.
Used to be the summertime was so slow.
I know. But not anymore. Walker, our Today's Issues Facebook page is where it's going to be happening today, right?
That's right. All the stories that Fred talks about from One News Now will be posted there. So folks maybe hear a little bit here and there. They have to get out of their car, go in the grocery store, go to work. They can go to our Today's Issues Facebook page and read the stories later on whenever they would like. And secondly, we'll be live streaming there so you can watch the show and listen live. Even if you don't have access to one of our radio stations across the country, you can always access us on the Today's Issues Facebook page.
Right. The personal comments, too, I think we could do without. yesterday, we had one of our viewers.
Terry, I believe.
Was it Terry?
I believe that was
Terry. So, you know, you're reading down there comments about the topics we're talking about, and then Terry says, hey, first time I've ever watched the show on the live Facebook stream, and I really thought Tim had more hair than that.
Uh-oh.
Getting personal. Camera doesn't lie.
Getting personal.
Yeah, I thought, you know, that's unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's uncalled for. Has nothing to do with the topics we're talking about. So, anyway.
But you don't hold anything against him, right?
That's right. You've already forgotten and moved on.
I have. I've moved on.
You're a bigger man than that.
That's right. I'm a bigger man than that. So, check out our Today's Issues Facebook page. All right, Fred, get us started this morning.
Well, first of all, we want to mention, certainly it's been the lead story all morning. We learned last night that Senator John McCain, who had an operation last week to remove a blood clot above his left eye, we learned last night that the doctors discovered a brain tumor while they were going through that procedure. As far as we know, the tumor has been removed, but this type of cancer, and it's described as an aggressive brain cancer, often has tentacles inside the good tissue inside the brain. So the family right now, in releasing a statement last night, Senator McCain is at home recovering from the initial operation, but they also need to consider now radiation or chemotherapy. So the family is considering that. But apparently he texted one of his GOP senator friends last night, I think it was Lindsey Graham, and said, well, you know, and this is typical Senator McCain. He's fought health battles pretty well all his life. He said, you know, we're thinking about doing some chemotherapy, but I plan to be back in Washington. So it sounds like he's in good spirits, but certainly we'll be praying for Senator McCain.
Yeah, I read that too, and he's 80 years old.
80 years old, yep.
And a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, what the report I said, it's aggressive.
It is aggressive.
And cancerous.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So.
But they were able to remove the tumor itself. What they're concerned about now is the tentacles that tumor may have been allowed to spread out in other parts of the brain. They got to deal with that.
Ray, do you know what happens? Let's say Senator McCain is unable to carry out his duties, and he must, you know. So he's not there,
right?
It's just a vote that's not there.
Well, I guess that's right, because you can't. Is there, Fred? Is there some mechanism? I mean, obviously, when a senator dies, which does happen from time to time, then I think it's the governor of that state who mm-hmm. appoints the replacement. Is there a provision for someone who is long term sick, but?
I'm not sure about that. Certainly, in the case of a senator who either resigns or passes away, while they're in office, the governor then appoints somebody to fill in for a period until the next special election. So I'm not sure in this case, is it a case where the health condition is so bad that the Senator McCain decides to resign himself, in which case the governor there in Arizona would appoint someone. But we're not, we want to stress, we're not at that point yet.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Mm. I got to say, this is just my opinion, and I just wonder why these guys, and ladies too perhaps, but I'm just thinking about these guys who get into their mid-70s and they want to stay.
Mm-hmm.
They've been there for 30, 40 years and they want to run again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going like, how many more years?
Well, how long did Strom Thurmond stay in the Senate? I mean,
till he died.
Like, I mean, he was up in his 90s, right?
Was he?
Yep.
I mean, this is just all they know, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. And I'm not talking about Senator McCain or being disrespectful to him. We're talking about a general rule where people stay in the Senate for 20, 30, 40 years. It seems like folks like Washington too much.
Right.
That they want to stay up there that long, because it's not supposed to be something where you're there 8, 9, 10 months out of the year, where you enjoy it so much that you want to be elected 4, 5, 6 terms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you sort of become a Washingtonian, not really.
The founding fathers, they were farmers, you know. Right. They worked in factories. Well, not the founding fathers, but they worked on farms. They had businesses.
They went back home. They lived back home. They were really representatives. And now, we're not singling out Senator McCain. This is just the way it is in Washington. It's just a career now for a lot of these folks. And you know, I'm just saying we don't have term limits. I wish we did have term limits, but we don't have term limits. I'm just asking the question personally. Mm-hmm. If I've been in Washington for 40 years or 30 years, and I get in my mid-70s, I'm not interested in dying while I'm
time to go play with the grandkids.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. There are you know, other things to move on to. But I guess these folks, you know, that's the lifestyle.
It's hard to give that up, isn't it? Though, I mean, that position and all the perks and plaudits and all the you know, life in the limelight and all that.
Yeah,
you can see, as Walker said, how that, you know, you become so accustomed to that you can't even imagine life without it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you take some of these senators too, who are long term. Their spouse joins them. They get a house, apartment, a townhouse in Washington. In some cases, the kids join them up there, and the kids go to work for the government. And in actual fact, regardless of where their seat is across the country, they become residents of Washington, D.C., and they build a life. Their kids build a life around that.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, it becomes their home, even though they're representing New Mexico, Arizona, whatever the case may be.
Strom Thurmond. There have been a number of Robert Byrd from West Virginia.
Byrd,
I'm thinking back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm trying to think back. The last senator I remember resigning because he said, "Well, I've had a good run, and I'm 70 now. I'm going to retire and let somebody else have this job."
That's not a real long list.
No. Some of these lawmakers mentioned when Reagan was here. Hmm. You know, they've been there too long. When they talk about, when Reagan was here.
You mean when senators now or congressmen talk about remembering the Reagan years?
Yes, uh-huh. when they were in Congress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so Senator John McCain, so they say he's recovering and don't know what the status
is. He's at home, and they're considering now the options of chemotherapy or radiation to deal with these tentacles that the doctors talk about.
So you take the tumor out, which is cancerous, but the tentacles remain, and they have to find out just how far they've gone.
How to treat chemotherapy. But you know what? Today, I know brain tumor it sounds serious, and it is. But remember back, was it 2 years ago, when former President Jimmy Carter was diagnosed with a brain tumor? And Jimmy Carter, I think, was 90 at the time, if he's that age now. And it was a therapy developed by Jewish scientists in Israel, and he was at the big Emory Hospital in Atlanta. They used that, and guess what? It worked. And Jimmy Carter, over the last few days, has been up in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, building his house,
Habitat
houses.
For Humanity.
Habitat
probably.
For Humanity, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he had to go to the hospital because he was dehydrated, but he got watered up and went back to work. You know,
well,
so
it's amazing.
It's amazing what can be done today. It really is.
All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. All right, what's next?
Whilst all of that was going on last night, there were a group of about two dozen Republican senators in the wake of their lunch with President Trump yesterday where he lectured them. You guys got to get a deal done. Come on. You know, I've only been here 6 months. A lot of you guys have been here 7 years. Get it done. So at least 20 of them that were there at that lunch with the president yesterday got together last night at a meeting, we're told, that went into past midnight, into the early hours of the
You mean
morning.
Without the president there?
Without the president there. They got
Senate Republican meeting, members-only meeting.
Members-only meeting. And trying to come up with a way that can bring these Republican senators together. Remember, we have four now. Earlier this week, we named Collins, Murkowski, Capito, and
Portman.
Those four said definitely we couldn't go this route. So now they meet last night. And this morning on Fox and Friends, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, who has a very high profile in this debate, and he's been a, I guess what you would call a conservative stickler for repeal. He was talking about another possible solution that he wants to put out there that might be able to bring together some of these holdouts, like Collins and Murkowski have talked about. We don't want to get rid of those Medicaid funding for a lot of people in our constituencies. Well, here's what Senator Rand Paul had to say as a possible way to bridge those Republican senators who just want to repeal and senators like Collins and Murkowski.
One of the things that people that no longer want to vote for the 2015 repeal bill are worried about is that Medicaid goes away in 2 years, the Medicaid expansion. Mm-hmm. However, it doesn't do anything to underlying Medicaid, so it doesn't reduce the cost there, and some of them are worried about that. But I have offered that in the BRCA, the Senate leadership bill, there's a 7-year relaxing window where the Medicaid expansion gradually doesn't go away but gets paid for by the states over a 7-year period. I've said, well, we could put that on the clean repeal, and I would accept that as a compromise. And I think some of them are thinking about it. There is some good in the bill. But what I object to is there's an enormous insurance bailout fund. Mm-hmm. I've told them if they will take that insurance bailout money and put it on a separate bill that is likely to pass, they can probably get what they want. And conservatives wouldn't be forced to vote for something that we philosophically think the federal government shouldn't be involved with.
So what Senator Rand Paul appears to be talking about here is, okay, let's break all of this down. Let's have a clean repeal bill, but then let's vote like minutes later on a bill that says, okay, you keep your Medicaid and we stretch it out over 7 years and eventually the states take over Medicaid funding. And then on the second point with regards to another aspect of thing, okay, Let's have another bill over here that we can vote on with regards to the bailout for the insurance companies. So instead of having one big bill to vote on that nobody can agree on, apparently,
right.
Let's break it all down into three, and then everybody is happy according to the proposal by Senator Rand Paul.
Well, here's the thing, and I think Senator McConnell, all the senators know this. There's only one, you get one chance where you can pass something right now with 51 votes, simple majority. Mm-hmm. Everything else falls under the 60-vote rule, which we've been saying they need to get rid of. Mm-hmm. So I think Senator Paul knows this. You pass a clean repeal on 51 votes.
Yes.
Any other bills come up need 60 votes.
Yep.
And he knows that, and he knows that those bills won't pass.
Well, unless, because the extension of Medicaid and also with regards to the insurance bailout stuff, they might, let's say on the Medicaid side, get some Democrat support on that.
Okay.
So that they may be trying to work that into the equation. I'm not saying that would work,
right.
But that may be the thinking that's going on.
Well,
right?
there'd be a handful of Democratic, conservative Democratic senators like Joe Manchin of West Virginia and others who very likely at least are going to take a favorable view of that, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So they could, it's possible they, with that, what you've just described, the three-bill process, they could get to 60 votes on the phase out of Medicaid and passing it on to the states, which would be a great step forward.
Mm-hmm. You know, we already have socialized medicine in this country, don't we?
Essentially. Medicaid, Medicare, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we're just talking about degrees, mm-hmm. really. Mm-hmm. And I think the conservatives in Washington, real conservatives, don't want to see any more.
Right. They don't want
takeover of the government.
Exactly. They don't want to see the federal government taking over health insurance mm-hmm. for all the people who are not on Medicaid and Medicare.
Yeah. And here's the main point. It's often pushed that without things like Obamacare, Medicaid, Medicare, etc., Americans will not get health care. They will not be able to have a surgery or get medicine if you go to the ER. That's not true. Even before Obamacare, hospitals and doctor's offices have been taking in folks that do not have any insurance and have no way to pay for their procedures.
Yes.
But hospitals have still been performing procedures, and folks who do have insurance and can pay for their bills have been picking up the cost. That they pay higher bills. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So it's if you just repeal Obamacare, folks will still get care and they'll still have access to doctors.
And there's one more aspect to this. There's actually four groups. There's Medicaid, which is basically for low-income people, Medicare for 65 and older. Then you have a large group in this country that we haven't really talked about that get insurance from their employer. They don't need Obamacare. So you've got this one group, this 25 percentile that you're dealing with, that Obamacare and the repeal deals with. Those other people are really not affected by anything in this discussion that we're having here now. There will be Medicaid, there will be Medicare, there will be companies that still insure their employees. Mm-hmm. We're talking about this other group out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I tell you, this is a very complicated, complex issue, to say the least. I'm Captain Obvious here. I don't know if there's this an issue that can be solved to the satisfaction of even a majority of Americans, because it's you know, as I said before, healthcare is not healthcare. Yes, it's a product, in quotations, but and should be open to the free market. But at the same time, it's a necessity. At least it's a necessity if you're sick, mm-hmm. and most Americans would say. And it is our tradition to take care of people, no matter whether they have the money to pay for their, medical treatment or not. One other thing about that, and then Ray, I'd like you to comment on this. Now, on the other hand, how many of us have known people that won't buy health insurance, but they've got a real nice bass boat, or they've got, you know what I'm saying? They bought them a couple of four-wheelers, but they don't want health insurance. And the reason they don't is because they know they can go to the emergency room mm-hmm. and be treated and not turned down. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of people that are take advantage of the generosity of others, and, you know, are just freeloaders mm-hmm. is what I would call them. I've known a lot of people like that, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Or they never think they're going to get sick. And then they do.
Right.
So, anyway, that's why it's very complicated. And I know that our leader, President Trump, and our leaders there are trying to work something out for the best, for the most. But go ahead. But the insurance bailouts, just those two words together to me.
Right.
Right. Ray, insurance bailouts. That doesn't sound like America.
No, it does not. And that's the last thing we need. Part of the problem, Tim, and you and I, we've talked about this before. Expectations have changed. Used to be, we've gone from healthcare as an opportunity for all toward the expectation that we want to provide healthcare for all Americans. And Walker, as you pointed out, it's mm-hmm. true that people have been going to the hospital without insurance for many, many years. I don't know how to square the circle, Tim, that you laid out there. How are we going to come up with a plan that pleases everybody? One of the most interesting facts about this is, and I'd like to hear your comments, even if they vote on a straight up and down repeal, which, you know, it's iffy, but if they get to that, correct me if I'm wrong, but even if they do, if they vote on it on Monday, on Tuesday, nothing changes because there's a 2-year mm-hmm. period.
Yeah.
So even if you repeal Obamacare, we're still going to have it for another year, year and a half, up to 2 years anyway. Is that the right way to say that?
That's right. That's correct, because these insurance companies have to kind of figure things out over a 2-year period, so folks don't get a phone call tomorrow and said, well, you lost your insurance coverage, good luck. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to phase all this out. But one thing that would help, that you would think everyone agrees on, is increased charity hospitals, nonprofit groups,
right,
that where doctors come in and volunteer, maybe get a tax write-off here and there. Things like that would be great for folks who everyone knows cannot afford a procedure or to go see a doctor. Allow those hospitals to open up across the country, and folks, instead of going, you know, to the private hospital, they go to these charity hospitals, and they know that they can receive care mm-hmm. free of charge. And you have to incentivize things like that, but if you don't, then you're left with private options, which are very costly.
Well, and the other thing too is one of the proposals out there is to have health savings plans like 401ks, only for health. And you say you set aside $50 a month or whatever the case may be, and it's tax deductible, and you keep building that up over time, so that when the need comes along, if you're 25 years old and you start doing that, the need comes along when illnesses become more frequent after 50 and that sort of thing, then you've got a little bank that you go to. It's there. Mm-hmm. And but you've got the tax deduction over the years. So that's been talked about more and more as another alternative that to put in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've got some terrific plans out there, and people like Bill Cassidy, the senator from Louisiana, doing some amazingly creative thinking. Rand Paul got some great ideas. The problem is, guys, you have these great ideas. Even if you pass them, they're going to take 4 or 5 years to implement, to really get going. The problem I see is, how do you cover people in the interim? First year out, second year out, third year out. I don't think anybody clearly knows the answer to that question.
No, and I would just say this, if you don't like Obamacare and what it's doing, did you vote for Obama? Somebody did, because he got elected twice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I think the American people voted for President Obama the first time. They voted for the Democrats in the Senate and the House, and the Obama administration, the Democrats, delivered what the American people voted for. Mm-hmm. So now there was a reaction.
Right.
When you say the American people are two different peoples. The people who voted for, who vote for Republicans, are the people who voted for Democrats, and it's about 50-50. Mm-hmm. So the American people, but there was a strong reaction to Obamacare, which led to the demise of the Democrat Party nationwide, and mm-hmm. the only person that survived was President Obama for a second term. But I'm just saying that,
somebody put him in office.
Somebody put him in office, right. and so they got, the Obamacare passed because there was a gentleman named Obama who was president. Mm-hmm. So we're having to deal with that. But health care, personally, we'll deal with that. We'll deal with that issue when we come back from the break. I don't mean to sound, how do I say this, pessimistic.
Just deeply realistic.
I think we're headed for a single payer system in the next 5 years. That's my opinion. I don't agree with that. I just think the demands of people for free health care, no matter what it is, are going to be. And if you don't agree with that, you are an uncompassionate person. Mm-hmm. That dynamic is going to play out more and more and more, mm-hmm. and people are going to say, somebody needs a heart transplant, and all you want to know about is, can they pay for it? You mean, cruel person, the government should pay for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That kind of argument is going to gain momentum as we go along here. We'll be back in a minute.
You can use this information right here.
Tim Wildman discusses life's most important issues.
So you could have a sea turtle alive out there right now that was here during the Civil War.
It's like getting a university degree.
Kind of.
Tell the world.
Here's the question. How wide is the wingspan of the world's largest roach species?
Listen to the Trivia Friday edition of Today's Issues, Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Trivia Friday.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the places we visit on one of the days on our tour of Israel is the Shepherd's Fields. Now, this is a place in Bethlehem. You can look out on any given day and see shepherds with their sheep, as if it were 2,000 years ago during the birth of Christ. So that's a very special place that we visit. Yeah, the terrain would be the same. You can just picture yourself being there the night the angels sang about the glory of the coming of the Lord. That's just one of the places we visit on one of the days. So if you would like to join us on our March 8th through the 16th tour of Israel, we'd love to have you. Just go to the website, twholyland.com, for more information. twholyland.com. Or for a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call us at 800-FAMILIES. That's 1-800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study, from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. The relationship between President Trump and Attorney General Jeff Sessions is one of the great mysteries of the universe. It's a head-scratcher, folks. The president basically threw the Attorney General under the bus during a recorded interview with the New York Times.
Sessions should have never recused himself. And if he was going to recuse himself, he should have told me before he took the job, and I would have picked somebody else.
The president, still fuming after Sessions recused himself from the Russian investigation, opening the door for a special prosecutor.
It's extremely unfair, and that's a mild word, to the president.
The Times reported in June that Sessions had offered his resignation, but the president rejected the offer. So if his job performance has been so egregious, why not just accept the guy's resignation? Regardless, bashing your staff in the New York Times is just bad form, especially for a Republican. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman. With Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, and Ray Pritchard, you're listening to Today's Issues. You can check out our Facebook page where you can watch the show live there if you want to. Comment on what we're talking about, and Walker's posting the stories that we are referencing on the program today. One final thought on, we were talking about what's going on in Washington with the repeal and or replace of Obamacare. That's the big story in Washington, D.C., whether that's going to take place or not. And we my pessimistic view of the near future is that we're headed toward a single payer or a universal health care system in America. That's my opinion. I could be wrong, and I hope I am wrong, but I think that's where we're headed, because a lot of Americans, quite frankly, want something for nothing. And they don't want to pay what it costs for health care, and some people genuinely can't afford it, but yet we want the best. Mm-hmm. And because you're dealing with health care, you're dealing with, you need a kidney, you don't care what it costs.
Yeah.
You just want it, and you demand it, and it's considered to be a right by a lot of American people, and people are, Americans are compassionate. We want to help everybody, regardless of whether they can pay for something or not. Now, however, should we get to that place where we're having universal health care or government health care, I think we will have, in addition to that, you will have, still is America, but in Canada they do this, you said, Fred, you will have medical country clubs, mm-hmm. so to speak. Mm-hmm. In other words, everybody gets universal health care, but if you want to pay extra, you can be moved up to the front of the line, so to speak.
You need a hip replacement?
You pay for it yourself.
The Universal over here, we'll give it to you in 6 months.
Right.
No, I'm in pain today.
Right.
I can go to this.
You can write a check and go to Orlando and get or wherever and go
right
to
now.
Mayo Clinic, whatever.
Get it
but
done.
You can write a check.
That's right.
Out of your, if you can afford it. For those people who can afford it, they can do something like that.
Yeah.
So that's probably where we're at. One other aspect of this that I don't think most Americans have not experienced, which you will experience once you get universal health care in place. It all sounds great. Everybody's covered. Mm-hmm. The government pays for it. Mm-hmm. Now, Fred, is there a downside to that?
Yeah, there sure is. When my dad was alive, when he was getting into his 70s.
You live in Canada, which they have socialized medicine.
Needed cataract surgery? Yeah, we'll do that, but you're going to have to wait several months. See, what happens is hospitals start getting budgets from the federal government.
Okay.
And so when the budget starts to run out, like when I go home to visit my mom in a couple of weeks, I will read the local papers, and some of the local papers will carry ads. This emergency room at this hospital in this town will be closed down this weekend. If you have an emergency, you have to go to another hospital in the next town because they're on these budgets. Doctors can only see so many patients every day, every month. They're limited in that.
Are the doctor's salaries controlled?
It's not the salary so much, as but your clinic. It's allotted. Like I said, hip replacements, you're going to have to wait several months before that happens because doctors can only see so many patients. All of this, and we mentioned free. It's not free.
Right.
If you go to Canada today, you're probably paying close to $4 to $5 a gallon for gasoline. Now, it's in liters up there, so it's a little bit less. Mm-hmm. But it's like $1.20 for a liter of gasoline. That's where they get a whole lot of their money for free health care.
Mm-hmm. You put free in quotations.
Yes. Yeah. So understand that, folks.
Right.
It's not free.
Right.
Right. You're listening to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Just 30 seconds, Ray. Do you agree with my futuristic analysis? Or you know, think...
I'd like to argue with you, but no. I mean, I felt for a while that this is the nature of the debate has changed from should we provide to how can we guarantee health care for everybody under all circumstances. And once you define the terms that way, you're going to end up with some form of maybe catastrophic care for everybody, and then people with money buy these gold, silver, bronze plans. Mm-hmm. But the inevitable impact is you're going to have much more government control. I mean, the government's already got its hands deep into healthcare, right? Mm-hmm. But they're going to be all the way in at that point, and there's no going back.
Yeah, and if the VA reputation is anything we have to look forward to.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that is government control of healthcare right there.
That's purely government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you're looking at, probably. I'm sad to say.
Well, let me ask you this. So what is, if just since we're giving predictions out here, what's the short-term likelihood? Do we want to predict that the Republicans are going to get their act together enough to do anything? Or is this going to be another drop ball
too much
down the road?
You need four votes?
Three votes? Yes.
Well, Senator McCain's not there.
That's right.
Right.
So that's one vote you're missing. You need 51.
Well, this is where the Rand Paul, we played his clip there from Fox and Friends this morning. He's hoping to entice the Collins and the Murkowskis over with this longer phase out of these programs.
Yeah.
That's what he's hoping.
If we can get rid of Obamacare real quick, then which was what they're trying to do, then the free market will naturally begin to play a large factor in healthcare, and that is a good thing, and I think it will prove fruitful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Jan Markell joins us from the Twin Cities in Minnesota. Jan is a president and founder of Olive Tree Ministries, and her weekend show is heard on American Family Radio on Saturday and Sunday. And she joins us each Thursday that she can to talk about what's going on in the news. Jan, good morning to you.
Good morning. Could I just build on what you gentlemen are talking about?
You sure may.
And the reason I'm trying to, and forgive my voice here, is the next 2 weeks I have on the program Michelle Bachmann, And she is commenting on a lot of things, but one of the things she's commenting on is this healthcare situation. And, Tim, I'm kind of building on what you just said, and she would agree with you that socialized medicine is on the horizon for the United States. I believe she even says that, she doesn't say it, she sure implies it, coming up in the next couple of weeks. And I listeners need to, I think, mentally prepare themselves for if and when this happens. We don't know at this point, but because the Republicans have really let us down, disappointed, and not kept their promise, and I don't see how they're going to reach that magical number of whatever it is, 50 or 51. I think by default, the government system, single payer, socialized medicine, whatever you want to call it, is just over a rim and it's heading our way, lickety split. And she would agree with me.
Well, and which so she would agree with me then.
Yes.
But so it may come sooner in 5 years. I'm looking at 5 years, but I may be coming in the next 2 to 3.
Yeah,
years.
I think a lot sooner than 5 years. She also talks about the evangelical advisory board that met with Donald Trump, which would have been a week ago Monday, and has some tremendous insights, particularly on Donald Trump, sort of the real Donald Trump, because I'm not sure most listeners really know who this fellow is. Very intriguing. I think a very intriguing couple of interviews and insights into the current administration, which is by and large a positive report on the current administration. Obviously, it's not perfect, but by and large is a positive report. There are 13 solid evangelical believers in kind of the inner circle of Donald Trump. There are prayer meetings and Bible studies going on, not only in the White House, but also the House and the Senate. There's just a whole new openness to anything Christian. Gone is the pandering to all things Muslim, though there's still a lot of Obama people in office, which is part of the problem of filling new positions. I think it's just an insightful time with Michelle that AFR listeners will really appreciate.
Now, that's your show. You're talking about an interview you have with former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann this weekend.
And this weekend and the next. It's a two-part series. It's at 12 noon on Sunday. It's 1 p.m. Central on Saturday, both Saturday, Sunday, and then for the next two weekends, it's part one and part two.
We're talking to Jan Markell. Her program is called Understanding the Times, and be sure to check that out on American Family Radio. Ray, do you have a question for Jan?
Jan, we're hearing reports of trouble in Jerusalem. I mean, there's always things happening in the Middle East, but rising tensions around the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, what's the latest, and what's the cause of what has happened there in the last few days?
I'm not 100% sure. Obviously, that's probably the most volatile. I think it's about 35 acres on the planet, and it's the location where the a couple of temples have sat in ancient history. I mean, some, I think 500 years B.C. there was a temple. There was a temple there in 70 A.D. And a real short history lesson is back in 1967, during the Six-Day War, Moshe Dayan, after they recaptured Jerusalem and made it their holy city again, that part of Jerusalem where the Holy Temple used to sit and where the mosque, Dome of the Rock, sits right now, Moshe Dayan decided, let's give peace a chance and let's give this precious 35 acres that belongs to us, let's give it back to the Muslim world and let them still maintain that that little territory there with the mosque sitting on top of it, the gold dome. That's the first thing you see in Jerusalem, particularly from the air or from a distance, you see the gold dome. So he allowed the Muslim world to continue to possess those 35 acres. Obviously, that wasn't the wisest idea in the eyes of a lot of Jewish people because it's such a sacred location. So there has been nonstop conflict on it since Israel was reborn in 1948 and even more so since 1967. And just what has sparked, there was a couple of Druze policemen killed in the last week on the Temple Mount. They were basically assassinated by some Muslims. That sparked the tension, and now there's just back and forth arguing and debating as to who's going to possess the area, who's going to control the area, who's going to police the area. And I don't think any decision has been reached at this point, but that's just a short history lesson on why it's the most troubled 35 acres, I would say, on the planet.
Hmm. You know, been there many times, as have you, Ray, and,
yeah,
and Jan. Fred's been there. Walker's been there, talking about the Temple Mount area. And last three or four times, we've just gone to the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall and not going up on the Temple Mount.
Yeah.
The Muslims there are, you know, they can stop you from coming. And quite frankly, it's just a mosque up there now.
Right.
So for the Christian, there's not much, unless you just want to say, well, I'm standing on the Temple Mount where the mosque, but there's two mosques, actually. There's the Dome of the Rock, mm-hmm, and which is a shrine, I guess you could say, and then there's the Muslim mosque there. But the Israelis, the Jews there, have basically, as Jan said, just given that to the Muslims since 67. They're 20% of the Jerusalem population, I think, roughly, is Arab Muslim, and a lot of them go to the mosque on Fridays to worship. Considering the confrontation, the numbers of peoples that are in that area in Jerusalem, and how congested it can be, I'm just surprised there haven't been more incidents.
Yeah.
Over the years, quite frankly, it's pretty peaceful, mm-hmm, most of the time, despite, mm-hmm, the fact that you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When you
no,
put
I
those
agree
two,
with you.
You put those
I
two
think
groups,
all things considered, think about the passion on both sides of the fence, the Muslim world and the Jews of
right.
the area, particularly the Orthodox Jews. You think of the passion involved and even the hatred and the fact that it is 5% peaceful around that area is quite amazing. It really is.
Yeah. Well, Jan, thanks for being on with us. Tell us your website.
Thank you. Pardon me?
Your website?
OliveTreeViews.org. Views as in viewpoint. OliveTreeViews.org. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Jan. Appreciate it.
See you, Jan.
Goodbye.
That's Jan Markell joining us from the Twin Cities in Minnesota. Check out her show on American Family Radio on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, she said, what time?
Saturday at 12, Sunday at 1.
Mm. Central.
That's right.
Central. Minneapolis, her hometown's been in the news a lot this week. We didn't get a chance to talk about
why.
It's police shooting of this Australia lady.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I read about that, yeah.
She heard what she thought was a burglar out in an alleyway. Cops arrive. She comes out of her house in her pajamas to talk to the cops. She's talking to the police officer who is driving the police car. There's another officer over in the passenger side in the front seat. All of a sudden, that officer, and this is without dispute, pulls his gun and shoots this lady from Australia in the abdomen. She dies right on the spot. Now, what's buried in this story is the officer who's sitting over there. She didn't have a gun or anything. She's just talking to the police officer that's driving the police car. This other officer on the passenger side is a Somali American who was hired just in the last few years under Minneapolis Diversity Program. He has already had four complaints against him even before this incident. His name is Mohammed Noor. So it's a big part of this story. The mainstream media, for the most part, is
that has been buried. That has been buried, Fred. I hadn't heard that part of it. Wow.
Yeah.
What part of it, Ray?
About the, you know, I knew it was a shooting from the other officer, but about his background, had heard nothing at all.
No.
Well, why do you think that is? Not PC. You can't talk about that.
It's exactly.
Well, I read that story too, and I guess the details will come. The facts will be uncovered. But I was reading that story again. This happened in the Twin Cities, right?
Minneapolis.
So Minneapolis. So you have a woman from Australia who's visiting here in America.
She's about to get married to an American.
Yeah, she's at this house,
right?
And she's about to get married, as you say.
Yep.
So she calls the police because she thinks there's something going on outside her home. True?
Yeah, I think it was last Saturday night. It was around 11:30 at night. She thought she heard something out in the alleyway. Calls 911.
So the police show up. Evidently, it's a cop car with two officers in there.
Yep.
And so the one, she said she's talking.
She goes out in the alleyway.
Yeah.
With her pajamas on.
Probably sees the lights of the cop car.
To talk to the officers. Yeah. And she's talking to the car stopped. She's talking to the officer who has been driving. When the guy, the other cop on the other side, the passenger
the Somali.
Side. Somali.
Somali American, I guess.
Pulls his gun, shoots right across his buddies.
Good night.
Well, that's hits her in the abdomen.
Good night.
That in itself
is troubling. No matter what she's doing, you don't shoot across from your officer. You don't shoot across his lap.
Well, what's he saying? He felt threatened?
He's not talking.
Oh, man.
He's not talking. His partner has confirmed the story.
Well, you know what? A woman in her pajamas at night, and she's already talking to one of the officers, and she gets gunned down by the other one? This fellow's already had four complaints against
him? Four complaints against him in 2 years.
Wow.
And another aspect of this is the dash cam and both body cams were off.
They turned them off.
Well, I'll tell you what, if the races were reversed here and a white guy had gunned down a person of another color, like in similar circumstances, the FBI would be all over this thing.
Not to mention the media.
Right, and we would know all about it.
Oh, yeah, I've heard some about it, but has there been any talk of the FBI coming in to investigate?
No.
Whether it's a hate crime or not?
No.
Yet?
No.
Because you know we had 45 FBI agents went to Ferguson, Missouri, to find out if Darren Wilson...
The Justice Department descended on Ferguson.
The police officer, Darren Wilson, to see if he was racially motivated by the death of Michael Brown. So 45. They couldn't find anything, by the way. 45 FBI officers... the Obama administration sent to St. Louis, that little town of Ferguson, and they couldn't find anything on this gentleman, Darren Wilson, the officer who was involved in the Michael Brown.
Who was found not guilty in a court of law.
Right. The officer. Right. He was attacked.
Matter of fact, he was exonerated.
He was attacked by Michael Brown in his police car.
Yeah.
So I just wondered if there's been any talk of this.
No, sir.
Yet.
No, sir.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Check out our Facebook page, Today's Issues Facebook page. We're live streaming the show there, and Walker's posting the stories that we're discussing. Dr. Alex McFarlane joins us now, as he does every Thursday. That he feels like it. No, I'm just kidding. Alex joins us every Thursday. That he's available, that he's not in some airplane somewhere 35,000 feet above the ground. Alex, good morning to you.
Good morning, fellas. It's great to be with you.
Sound like you're at home there.
Well, actually, I'm at North Greenville University, where much, much better than the cell phone. And so we've got some good audio.
What do you teach there?
Apologetics and Christian worldview. I tell people I have to teach to support my preaching habit.
How many students do you teach every week?
Anywhere from, 25 to 30. We've got, it's a joy. North Greenville is a Baptist school, but overtly Christian. And I love it because it is a school that is not at all politically correct. Mm-hmm. Have about, 50 majors, and I came here about 7 years ago to teach apologetics and Christian worldview, and so
What's class about today?
Well, class is not in, we're out for summer, but I'm down here actually working on an article that I want to submit to TJ and the guys over at EngageMagazine.net, but... August through May, I'm teaching biblical worldview and apologetics and teaching these kids to love America and defend the faith.
Amen. It's a no snowflake zone,
that's for sure.
Well, maybe I'm prying and it's none of my business, Alex. I guess I've got to ask you, why did you drive to Greenville from Charlotte to write an article?
Well, a couple of reasons. One, I've got studio access down here, and doing exploring the word and things like that, and radio interviews. It's good to be able to have access to the mass comm department.
Okay, that's as personal as I'll get right there. Alex, you heard us talking about that story out of Minneapolis, didn't you? You heard about this?
You know, my heart breaks. I mean, this lady was like an assistant veterinarian, and just this, from what we know at this point, it sounds very suspicious. And let me say, the fact that the dash cam and body cams were apparently off, that is highly unusual, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
What? Yeah. I didn't hear that part of the story.
The officers now have cameras, and they're supposed to turn them on when they have this encounter, any encounter with anyone. Their cameras were turned off.
That's most unusual.
Totally against policy.
The dash cam and the body cams?
Everything was turned off.
In the middle of the night?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well, that's
part of the story.
Okay, go ahead, Alex.
Well, you know, here's, as far as we know, an Islamic police officer that did the shooting who had complaints against him. And, you know, yesterday I was doing some media interviews about the fact that the Army is still supposedly going to cover certain gender reassignment surgeries. Mm-hmm. My point is, in the military and in law enforcement, these are not the agencies to engage in social experimentation and social, you know, revision. I mean, they are to protect the country and keep the peace. And, you know, this officer that was part of a, you know, enforced diversity program and plan, and now under very unusual, very suspicious circumstances, an apparently innocent person is dead. Very sad, very sad. And it's just another reason why we need to get back to sensible government, sensible policy, and abandon this social experimentation that really puts lives at risk.
Amen.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, Alex, we have you on. We got about a minute or so left here. What's the, you've got a new book coming out pretty soon, don't you?
We do. In fact, the article I'm working on is about, you know, young people going away to college, and the book Stand Strong in Your Faith just came out a couple of weeks ago. It's really good for all ages, but especially for young people. It's a good book to give high school seniors that are going away to college, and, you know, especially Christian young people. You know, unless they are going to a solidly Christian university, sadly, most college campuses are all about secularism. And, you know, mom and dad, we don't want your kid to become a godless, American-hating social justice warrior. And so we're trying to have kids be equipped to live their faith and defend their faith, even in the sometimes hostile world of academia.
Mm. Well, we look forward to that. When can we expect that to be out?
Well, the article I'm going to release to the wire service here just in a couple of hours, but the book Stand Strong in Your Faith by Broad Street Publishing is out now.
All right. Thank you so much, Alex. Take care, my friend. Look forward to seeing you or hearing you this afternoon on Exploring the Word with you and Bird at 3:05 Central Time.
God bless you.
On American Family Radio. You sound like Billy Graham right there.
Yeah.
A little bit.
He's got that accent.
And he's from Charlotte.
That's right.
God bless you. you know, I was reading about the story from the Star Tribune in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Evidently, this police officer, this Somali named Muhammad, shot this Australian woman from inside his car.
Yeah.
That's
what Fred was mentioning.
Yeah.
Highly unusual, wouldn't it?
Well, it breaks protocol to shoot not only inside the car,
right,
but across an officer.
Yeah.
That's way against protocol.
Wow. All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes after the news. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.